is a presentation of KSL Sports. Hello, Cougar Nation.
Who's open for three? Angle left takes it and makes it. Fusene Traore. And listen to the Cougar Nation.
Every Monday night, we break down the last week of BYU basketball and look ahead to the Cougars' prospects for the postseason. Cougar Nation. Here's BYU insider Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio.
Cougar Nation, what a wild week for BYU hoops, and we'll be breaking it down. The historic win earlier in the week at Kansas, and then a big-time comeback at home against TCU. The Cougars are back in the top 25 at number 20. Mitch, glad to be here with you. It's a little cold. We're coming to you live from the indoor practice facility. Just wrapped up some BYU spring football media availability. We'll have that content for you on Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday, every Saturday noon to 3. I'm a little cold, but I'm looking forward to breaking down this hoops team with you this week, Mitch.
Oh, it might be cold in here, but the BYU basketball team is hot right now. They are on a tear. BYU hoops, I mean, it was arguably, since the last time we spoke on this show, one of the greatest weeks in the Mark Pope era for BYU basketball.
Easily.
That was an amazing week, and we're going to unpack all of it. The win at Kansas, the comeback win over TCU, so much to get to. And we want you, Cougar Nation, to be part of this show. 801-575-8255. Call in, share your thoughts on this BYU basketball team, and answer our question, too. The question of the day today is, how far do you believe BYU basketball will advance in the NCAA tournament? 801-575-8255. Let's get into our takeaways for this BYU hoops team.
Cougar Nation, takeaways. Mitch and Matt analyze BYU's last week of play and what it means for the next week.
Thanks, Tim Hughes, and what a week it was as BYU takes down Kansas in historic Allen Fieldhouse, and then they take down the TCU Horned Frogs. Where do we begin, Matt? Because I feel like we got to address both games. They were so historic in so many ways.
Let's start with this. I think this takeaway applies to both games. This BYU team, and you've been on it for weeks, so credit to you, but it's really starting to manifest itself, Mitch. This is one of the most resilient teams I've ever seen. Any BYU team in the look, football, basketball, whatever. Like, this basketball team, for both of those wins to be trailing at the half and to have double-digit deficits, they erase both of those in the second half and get two big-time wins. Look, TCU, they were not ranked, but they were top 30 if you look at where they were getting votes before the week ended. To be able to come back in both games at the half, that shows a tremendous amount of resilience.
And it's promising, too. When we ask our question tonight, how far will BYU advance in the NCAA tournament, 801-575-8255, and you can be part of that and answer that question with us. You got to be tough-minded in the NCAA tournament because not every game is going to go according to script in the way you want. You have to be a resilient team, and it's nice to know that BYU can be down 12 in one of the greatest venues in college basketball, if not the greatest venue in Allen Fieldhouse, and win a game. You can be down 17 and feel like, oh, everything from that was gained from that Kansas win is going out the door. This BYU team is who we thought they were, and they're just going to fold when the expectations come their way. And they're resilient, and they bounce back. I just think that's a great trait to have in March, because we know BYU's got their limitations when it comes to personnel, when it comes to roster. Heck, even Mark Pope understands that. He knows that they have to be a three-point volume shooting team in order to win ball games. But you can't teach toughness, and this team has embraced that. And I think last year's struggles navigating the WCC and finishing in fifth place in that league has kind of hardened this team, as we hear the pads in the back here in the IPF, Isaiah Moa, football defensive lineman. Anyway, I'm getting a sidetrack because this is basketball. But it's just, you got to have a toughness, and this team's got it, and that's promising as we're now in March and when seasons are defined in this sport.
Sticking with the second half, another takeaway I had, Mitch, from those two wins is the three-point shooting, when it mattered most in that second half, was outstanding. 50%. For the week in the second half, they were 15 of 30 when you combine both second halves, and it was different guys. Against Kansas, you had Dallin Hall stepped up big time. Noah Waterman, 2 of 3. Jackson Robinson made 2 at Kansas. Then against TCU, Trevin Nell, massive to start that second half. He goes 4-7, has 12 points in that second half. He really gave you life very early because it felt like, hey, you're down a lot at the half against TCU. What was it, 17 at the half? You got to erase that to 12 or 10 quickly, and boom, you get a Nell 3 within that first minute. Gave them some juice, some energy. I just thought the three-point shooting in the second half from everybody on the team was spectacular.
Here was Mark Pope and Richie Saunders on how dangerous of a player Trevin Nell is when he finds a shot.
Yeah, that's what he does. He hits shots. And it's fun to watch and fun to be like on the court with him.
He is dangerous, and he knows it too.
He is dangerous. There's no doubt about it. And I love a few weeks ago when he got reinserted into the starting lineup. He hasn't just been electric every game, but they've stuck with him. They rode it out because there's been some slow starts, Mitch, over the past couple weeks. But now he's starting to find his groove. I love you get that scoring punch from Nell in the starting lineup. You get Jackson Robinson, Foose, and Richie off the bench. It feels like this team, Mitch, is playing its best basketball at just the right time.
And how strange is it to think that going back to Trevin Nell in the starting five and Jackson Robinson coming off the bench, am I crazy, Matt, and just feeling like that just makes sense to me? That just works for this BYU team. Any other program, I would say, what do you do when Jackson Robinson's your leading scorer? He should be starting. Trevin Nell should be the sixth man off the bench. But I almost feel like these guys just work better with Nell in the starting five, and then Robinson kind of gets a feel for how the game plays out, and then he inserts himself and goes on the attack. I love what's happening with this BYU team. And when Nell's knocking down the three, man, it just unlocks kind of a new element to this BYU team. And they just shoot. You almost feel like it's a guarantee they're going to hit at least 10 three-pointers in a game when he's knocking them down.
Yep.
And he's just been so good in stretches this season. You hope that game against TCU turns into every single night he's that good. Because he'll even admit, you know, he's been inconsistent at times, and he's had games coming back from that foot injury where it took a bit of a filling out process. Now he's healthy. He should be good to go heading down to the final stretch now.
Another takeaway, the second half defense has been great in the last two wins. Against TCU, they hold them to 29 points in the second half and 33 for Kansas. Big time adjustments, I think, were made that allowed them to play better defense. Here's what the head man, Mark Pope, had to say about BYU's defense in the second half.
I felt like our guys in the second half were extraordinary about being there on the catch and catch the move against one of the best driving teams in our league. Like, extraordinary. It was really special second half.
They needed it, and they did a great job locking it down. Here's another bonus takeaway, too. Can we just take a moment to appreciate what Richie Saunders brings to this team? He was amazing against TCU, man.
Outstanding. You know, Richie Saunders, there's so many games this year where his impact is felt even beyond the box score. But this game against TCU, he makes an impact on the box score, but also beyond that, too. I mean, I thought he was outstanding in that comeback effort against the Horned Frogs. And when he got a little bit of a breather at the 4:30 mark, the Marriott Center understood the moment, and the crowd basically gave a standing ovation to Richie Saunders. I thought that was pretty cool. How, again, a testament to Cougar Nation that they are so engaged when they go to these games and they understand the significance and the effort that Richie Saunders was bringing. He was outstanding. And I thought that when he was getting downhill, there was back-to-back possessions. The first one, he finds Jackson Robinson in the corner for a three. That was huge. And then he attacks the basket. I just love the effort that Richie Saunders brings. And remember last year, Matt, I think I brought it up a few times, but we were sitting in the annex lobby area with him. We were talking with him and interviewing him for Cougar Sports Saturday, and you know, he even acknowledged that it's been at times tough freshman year to not have a consistent role. I think having him get consistency where every night he knows when he's going to go into a game, how much minutes he's going to get, it's made him a better player.
Yep.
When every single night he knows what to expect, and I think that's been a theme for all of these guys where they know what they're doing every single night, and I feel like that's helped this group elevate themselves, and they've got that continuity. I just love what Richie Saunders brings to this BYU team, and it's been a lot of fun to watch. And that TCU game embodied it for sure.
9 points, 4 rebounds in just the second half. He had that three-pointer that brought fans to their feet that gave them the lead, followed up by the they break the press. He drives in, throws the alley-oop to Foose. That felt kind of like the exclamation point on the comeback against TCU. Love how he rebounds. Love how he defends. He can make plays off the dribble, to your point, getting to the rim and either kicking it out, finishing at the rim, or finding Foose for the dunk. Richie Saunders is a winning player. I have a feeling Richie Saunders, come March, is going to elevate his game. The little things, they get amplified in the NCAA tournament. I think he's going to be a big force to be reckoned with come March.
And you'd like to think that Richie's effort was a byproduct of the halftime speech that Mark Pope gave. I thought Fusini Traore highlighted it best. This was Foose after the game on that halftime speech from Mark Pope when they were down 17.
That was actually crazy. You know, we never done anything like that before, you know. After Coach Tag, you know, he said, well, let's put all the chair away, you know, and let's start hitting each other. That's what we do. Like, it was, for sure, it was just after we did that, you know, everybody can feel it now. It's time for business, you know. It's just time, like, to just go and get it done, you know. I feel like that was super good.
It's time for business. That needs to be a drop. It's time for business. We need to get it done. I loved what Foose brought, too. 21 points for him. We'll get to more of him coming up a little bit later in the show. But we want to take your phone calls, Cougar Nation, 801-575-8255. Sound off on the Kansas win, the TCU win. Our question of the day is, how far will BYU go in the NCAA tournament? Call in, 801-575-8255. Let's get out to the phone line and bring in Linda, our weekly guest. Linda, what's on your mind tonight? How you doing?
Oh, fine, thanks. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, Linda. We just watched some BYU football. We experienced a great week of BYU basketball. We're living the high life right now. How about you?
Oh, me too. I'm so happy about that. I'm really glad, and I hope that we can go all the way. That's my prediction. I might be going out on a limb, but I'm going to go ahead and say that. We're going to go all the way.
Linda, you think this BYU team can win the national championship?
I bet we can.
I love the belief, Linda.
Yes.
Sweet 16 would be great for me, but hey, if Linda is right, Linda, you might want to take some funds down to the desert if you know what I'm saying, if they can win the national championship. Thanks for the call, Linda. We appreciate it. I that kind of belief, though, from this fan base, I think is starting to seep through, where a couple of weeks ago you would have said, you get to the tournament, that's great. Yeah. We're trending in the right direction. Now, after what we've seen this past week, where this team is playing great basketball, feels like at least round of 32, Sweet 16. How do you feel about this team and where they could go?
We'll get to those.
Okay, you're right.
We'll get to those. But I will say this, Matt, is that this team, they're tough and they can knock down the threes, as we've known all along, but they're also tough in the post. And that's evolving. And with Ali Khalifa healthy, with Foose healthy, this is, again, knock on wood for this team, but they're the healthiest they've been since maybe before the
whole year.
Before the foreign tour. In the foreign tour, Khalifa got banged up, Dawson Baker got banged up, and keep in mind, like, that's without Dawson Baker. We saw flashes of Dawson Baker in October in the buzz we were hearing. This guy could be the best guard in the program, we were hearing. And so, I mean, this team could have even been better than what they've been with a healthy Dawson Baker. But I just feel like this group's tough, and I love what they're becoming, and I feel like Mark Pope's done an outstanding job of also managing the egos and making everyone happy to where, like, there's not many basketball teams where you get this collective effort where everyone's kind of happy, nine guys basically interchanging in the lineup. Usually it's like, if I'm not starting, I'm not happy, and I'm not getting mine, I'm not happy.
Yep.
This group's embraced it, and they're becoming a really good team for BYU. Let's take a break. Cougar Nation is live here on KSL News Radio. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte, we're coming to you live from Provo tonight. We'll get to more of your phone calls, 801-575-8255. How far do you think this BYU team can go in the NCAA tournament? We'll answer your calls next right here on Cougar Nation.
BYU fans, join me, Tim Hughes, and Amanda Dixon for stories that affect our jobs, taxes, and families. Utah's Morning News, each morning between 5 and 9 on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into Cougar Nation, coming to you live from Provo, Utah. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte. We just got done with some BYU football practice, all the coverage of spring ball on KSLSports.com. But this show's all about basketball right now in Cougar Nation. Every Monday night, 6 to 7, we're taking your phone calls, and the good times are rolling for BYU basketball. I got to say, I mean, Matt, like, we've been following this program for years, and I got to say, this doesn't feel like this has been one of the best weeks for BYU hoops since at least the Gonzaga win in 2020, but maybe go back to Jimmer in 2011 when they took down the Aztecs?
But both of those weeks were followed by horrific storylines. There was the loss in the WCC tournament.
Let's not say that. Let's not say that.
Yeah, and then we don't need to discuss what happened after that big win against San Diego State. Geez. So don't put that on us, Mitch.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Let's bring a little bit more energy, though, with our callers. 801-575-8255. How far will BYU basketball get advance in the NCAA tournament? Let's get out of the phone line. Welcome in Joseph from Lehigh. Joseph, how far do you think BYU will go?
I think their floor is the Sweet 16, and I think their ceiling is the Final Four. I think this team is deeper than the Jimmer years that I lived in, but I'm not old enough to remember that. But, yeah, I think they can go to the Final Four.
Joseph, I love that. What do you think it's going to take for BYU to get to the Final Four, you think? Is it just three-point shooting, or is there something more that you're seeing?
Yeah, I think BYU will have to carry their three-point shooting with them. It will need to travel more than it has so far throughout the season. But BYU's defense, even though it struggled a little bit in the Big 12, I think it's starting it's done good in some big games. BYU's had some big moments with some big stops. With TCU and Kansas. So I think the defense is just the biggest thing that BYU just needs to keep working on.
Thanks, Joseph. Appreciate it. You can call in 801-575-8255. How far do you think this team will go in the tournament, or if you just want to sound off on a great week of BYU hoops? We're taking your calls until 7 p.m. here in Cougar Nation. Let me add to what Joseph said. I thought there was a great call. Keeping the turnovers low is something they did great this past week. Taking care of the ball. Ali Khalifa has returned to form. A lot of assists, not a lot of turnovers down Hall. A little tease for the next segment, but he's been trending up. Let's just say that. So, yeah, defense is important because that's effort-based. That's the Richie Stauner style. But taking care of the ball, getting good shots, they did a great job of that this past week.
Final Four as the potential in goal.
Do you
see that possibly? I mean, it's tough to say without seeing the actual path and the bracket, but this BYU team has lived in the top 15 of the advanced metrics, the top 20 at a minimum, the entire year, Matt. I mean, this is...
And that's nice. Don't get me wrong, that's nice. But what's even more nice is if you got wins against Iowa State, top 10, you got a win against Baylor, top 15, and a win against Kansas, top 15. So you're beating some of the best teams that are being ranked that high late in the year. That wasn't like a December win against a top 10 and they fell out. Like, these teams are still in the top 15. You got three wins against the top 15. That matters. And then the other thing I think we're learning in college basketball, there's no great team. So if you're playing your best basketball at the right time, you've got the depth. And I love that BYU's got a little of everything. They got the low post working right now with Foose. Yeah. They got the three ball. They got transition offense. They got a good point guard. Like, what don't they do well right now? That's the thing.
That's a great point. And you know what's promising is that the last three seasons, BYU has had at least three wins over AP top 25 teams. They've advanced to at least the round of 32 in those years, 2011, 1988, 1981. Now, that's, and you might hear that stat and go, man, it's been that long between seasons. Well, you didn't face many ranked teams back in the WAC and the Mountain West era. A little bit different deal in the Big 12, but it speaks to this team's battle-tested. You know, one of the knocks on BYU for years in the NCAA tournament have passed was, well, let's see how they fare against these power conference teams. You just beat Kansas. You beat Baylor. Some of these national
TCU
powers.
TCU was a good team.
Oh, yeah.
That's not a bad win.
Yeah, Mike Capivi, that guy was explosive. I mean, they had 10 seniors. That was an experienced team, one of the most experienced squads in college basketball.
You racked up 58 on them in the second half.
Like, BYU has been tested. I think my expectation for BYU is the round of 32 because maybe it's just I'm jaded because I feel like the committee's out to get BYU, and that might be conspiracy tinfoil hat mode. But I just feel like BYU will get a lower seed than we expect. I feel like BYU has done enough to get a 4 seed, honestly, personally.
As with no other wins, a 4 seed right now.
Like, to this date, I feel like they should be good enough for a 4 seed, in my opinion. Because
and
I
that's, feel, is that assuming you go 1-1 the rest of the way?
Yes. I feel like, and then you win
Oklahoma
a couple,
State.
And then you win 2 games in the Big 12 tournament. But I feel like BYU's resume looks pretty dang good, and I just think that I'm going to say round of 32 at a minimum. I think the ceiling, Elite Eight, I'll say. I feel like a Final Four runs. It takes
if
some magic.
If you get the right side of the bracket, though, because like I don't think you want to play a UConn. I still think UConn is tough.
You need to experience what Florida Atlantic did last year,
right?
Where they somehow get a game against a 16 seed. You know, you need like a Farley Dickinson in one of the games or a St. Peter's. Honestly,
except
that's,
those teams kept winning.
No, but that's what.
How many blue bloods won? Yes, give us Farley Dickinson.
But that's
baby.
That's what you need though to make a real run. You got to get some double digit seed action to get to the Final Four.
Let's get to one more call before the break. Ziggy from Salem, how far can this team go in the tournament, Ziggy?
I think that they can go to the final.
Wow, the that. Final game. I love the confidence. Who's your favorite player, Ziggy?
Probably
Foose.
Foose,
the big man. I love that. Ziggy, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it. Got to get to a break. News, traffic, and weather coming your way on the other side. Let's keep this hoops train rolling, baby. Keep the calls coming. 801-575-8255. See you in a moment.
Just like Cougar fans come together for BYU basketball, the community gathers around KSL each morning for important news. Listen tomorrow between 5 and 9 to KSL News Radio.
And the BYU community is gathering right now in Cougar Nation. We're taking your calls, 801-575-8255. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte, breaking down a whirlwind week of BYU hoops, but we got people on the line, Mitch. Let's hear from Cougar Nation. This show's for you, and we love it when you guys call in. Tanya from Highland, how far can this BYU team go, Tanya?
You know, I think they have the potential to go far. I mean, they could take it all the way. All depends on how they use their potential, but they've got it. They've got a very rich team with a lot of players that are talented.
Tanya, do you worry at all that that BYU will stumble in the NCAA tournament? They have the distinction of being the team with the most appearances without a Final Four appearance.
I mean, yeah, definitely. Sometimes when we're not on, you know, they can definitely have that stumble. I mean, I think just that last game just showing how, you know, they were way behind, and then all of a sudden they come back from halftime and then swing it all the way the other way. So, you know, they can stumble, but they also, if they keep their confidence up, and they can definitely, I mean, they're always, anytime they're behind, usually you just feel like it's over, but they usually can, they can get right back in there. So that's a great thing.
That's a great point, Tanya. Thanks for the call, 801-575-8255. That is a nice aspect to this BYU team. They are never down and out. The only time really this year where it felt like that was the case was Oklahoma State, and that was a wire. That's so weird to say because Oklahoma State's bad, but they've been competitive the entire year, every game. Even, you know, Utah back in non-conference play, they're down big at half, and they make it interesting down the wire. Baylor, they had a 9-point lead after starting slow. BYU team is a resilient group, and hopefully this team can make a magical run. Because I will say this too, Matt. Cougar Nation has been, you know, very patient, and look, there wasn't much high expectations. No one outside the Marriott Center Annex probably believed in this BYU team. But,
no.
You know, BYU fans, Cougar Nation, they have experienced a lot of heartbreak with BYU hoops and just BYU sports in general. It would be amazing for this fan base and this program and these players and Mark Pope to get a run and get to that second weekend because, you know, one of the special things about March Madness is that the stories that emerge from that thing, it takes on, like, you will carry, it carries weight for years to come. Like,
Jimmer.
I say St. Peter's. You knew instantly what I'm talking about. Like, Farley Dickinson. I mean, these programs.
Florida Gulf Coast.
I'm not saying BYU's those programs. Like, BYU's got great winning history. But it's just, they just haven't had those big runs. I mean, the only time BYU makes a second weekend run is if they have the best player in college basketball, Danny Ainge and Jimmer Fredette, or Kresen Markosic. You have to have the best player in the sport if you're BYU to make a run. This team has the potential to rewrite that narrative and say, this is the new era of BYU basketball. This is the Big 12 version of BYU. And it would be awesome, and it would just inject so much life into this fan base that's just been dying for an NCAA tournament run. So I would love to see that happen for Cougar Nation and this BYU basketball program.
On that note, that's a good segue into our next segment, Mitch.
Cougar Nation, trending. What's trending up and what's trending down this season?
Trending up, trending down. Let's start on a high note with trending up. You talked about how BYU, they don't typically make second weekend runs without the best player in the country. They're not going to have the best player in the country this year, but my pick for trending up, I think, has a significant impact on this team winning and their chances of going deep in the NCAA tournament. That's Dallin Hall. He's got 30 points in his last two games. A week ago on this show, I told you if they're going to beat Kansas, he's got to have at least 15. He goes for 18. He follows that up with 12 and a bunch of made threes against TCU. A couple of them coming in the second half when they really needed them. And then what I love about Dallin Hall, these past two wins, Mitch, 10 assists, one turnover. He's making shots. He's getting to the rim, taking care of the ball. I don't know if he's BYU's best player, but when he's playing well, I feel like this team goes to another level like we've seen this past week.
Great point. And that shot he made over Hunter Dickinson, that's an all-timer. That's this type of picture where, you know, print the photo and put it in the annex, put it in, you know, posters for young Cougar fans. That's an iconic shot. To put BYU up 71-66, in that moment you knew they're going to win this game. And I just remember watching that in the moment thinking, Dallin Hall arrived. Yep. And, you know, because I just always go back to October in Kansas City where he's like, Mitch, you know, this is what I've dreamed of. He signed to play in the WCC. He had no idea he was going to be in Allen Fieldhouse, but he was so excited to be in the Big 12 and compete because, you know, he's a three-star recruit. But nationally, there wasn't much hyped him. I know Donovan Mitchell said he's a hooper. And look, Donovan Mitchell, maybe we should have been understanding. Like, we always believed Dallin Hall was going to be legit.
Yeah.
I don't know if we knew how good this quick. I mean, it's only year two, and he's got so much basketball in front of him. It's pretty special to see. Trending up for me is Fusini Traore. Loved what he is. And you know what? I feel, Matt, after watching BYU go up against all 13 of the other Big 12 teams now, TCU was the 13th, Fus is the strongest big man in the Big 12. The only guys that can compare, I think, is Javier Francis from Houston.
Dickinson.
And then Dickinson. Dickinson, early in the first half, gave Fus a little bit of trouble where you're like, whoa, Fus is getting pushed off the block a little bit by Dickinson. So those are the three. And I think Fus, when he gets in his comfort zone, man, his base is as strong as anyone in the conference. And he's only 6'6", but that wingspan, I just love his touch around the basket. I just think Fus is doing a great job for BYU. He is trending up heading into March.
Trending down, this is a nitpick, Mitch, but I haven't loved the first halves in these two games. But on the flip side of things, in the earlier part of Big 12 play, when they always had a halftime lead, they were losing those in the second half. So if I have to choose one, I'd rather a slow start and a great second half versus what we saw to start Big 12 play. But look, in the TCU one too, they were just shooting so hot. It really wasn't that BYU was playing poorly. It was just ridiculous shooting from TCU. But the first halves could be a little cleaner to where you're not down double digits and you have to mount this comeback. So that's a nitpick. But slow first halves, I think, could be corrected going into the NCAA tournament.
You bring up nitpick. I'm getting real nitpicky, too, because, again, we're riding high. BYU's like rolling. You know, they got the big win the past two games. So we're nitpicky here on trending down. But one thing that kind of makes me pause a little bit, because, again, it ties into our question, how far can BYU go in the NCAA tournament? 801-575-8255. You can call in and share your thoughts. In the Kansas game, first half, K.J. Adams had 9 points, and he was a matchup nightmare. I bring that up because players like him, and he might be a one-of-one. K.J. Adams is kind of a freaky type of athlete where it's just he's so unique where he can go inside and out. But there's certain players and body types and matchups that you don't have an answer. And when you're maybe stepping out of the league and you're going to the NCAA tournament where you only have at most 4 days to prepare for a team – That's tough to then match up and adjust on the fly. Credit to BYU in the second half. They limited K.J. Adams to only 2 points, but I thought that was a byproduct of Kansas not making him a focal point. They didn't give him the ball. And BYU benefited by that because Adams, there was no answer for him. And someone like that could go off for big numbers on BYU and derail their, you know, tournament hopes. Now, maybe you're probably not going to see that in round one if you're a 5 or a 4 or a 6 seed. But, you know, you get to that round two and you're facing a 4 seed, you're going to face someone that's a legit kind of athletic freak, possibly like a K.J. Adams. So that was, some, again, nitpicky, but kind of something to store away as, you know, there are personnel out there that can really cause headaches for BYU.
Back to the phone line, 801-575-8255. Cougar Nation, the show's for you. We're taking your calls on how far this team can go in the tournament and anything you want to talk about related to BYU basketball. Let's go to Bob from Lehigh. What do you have for us, Bob?
Hey, I'll tell you right now, Jackson Emery's the dude, or I mean Jackson Robinson, and I think we're going to go to the Elite Eight.
Oh, man, Elite Eight would be next level. Jackson Robinson, I do think, is probably the best player on the team when he is feeling it. He had a great second half against TCU. When he's feeling it, this team is better. And in some of the losses, you look at his stat line, it's like 1 of 10, 2 of 10. So it's a good point, Bob.
He's great. He's going to do it again. I think they're going to – the whole team that are going to show up on Wednesday, and we're going to teach Iowa a new lesson.
Whoa. You like the Cougs to win on the road against number 6, Iowa State? Am I hearing you right?
We beat them already. I think we're going to – I think we've turned the corner. I think we have.
Bob, I agree. BYU definitely has turned the corner. Let me ask you this too, Bob, on Jackson Robinson. Do you think he's an NBA guy? Think he's going to go pro after this year?
He'll be out in the first round. You bet.
Okay. I like it. Thanks for the call, Bob. 801-575-8255. Call in, weigh in on your thoughts on BYU, how far they will go to the NCAA tournament. You know, let's talk about that BYU-Iowa State game coming up here. We'll get to that preview as BYU and the Cyclones tip off in a top 20 showdown. The AP top 25 poll, let's just get on that real quick.
Oh my.
Iowa State's number 6. Well deserved. Iowa State's legit. They've been playing some great basketball. BYU number 20 in the AP top 25 poll. What do you have to do if you're BYU to get into the back into the top 15? You took down Kansas, who never loses in Allen Fieldhouse. This is one of those teams where it goes beyond just simply who they are this year. It's that for 20 years, no one wins in that building. And BYU, in their first crack as a Big 12 team, goes in there and wins and takes down Kansas, who was number 7 in the country at the time. And then they beat TCU, and not only beat them, they come back from 17 down, and they outscore TCU by 29 points in the second half. What are these pollsters, what are they watching?
They're not watching.
Like,
that's the problem. They're not watching.
How do you not acknowledge what BYU is doing this year? Again, I think the voters are just like, we're tired of having BYU in the bottom 5 spots. Let's just bounce them last week after beating Baylor. And then this week you only get to 20? Come on now.
That's what bothers me is it's like they had forgotten the previous week. Over the last 4 games, they're 3-1 with wins against TCU, which was, if you want to extend the ranking out, 27th. In the country, BYU, or 28th, BYU was 26th, TCU was 28th, and then you've got the Baylor win, and you got the Kansas win. So you got 3 quality wins and 1 road loss. Look, I know Oklahoma State's not good, but it was a road loss. It wasn't a home loss against one of the worst teams of the conference. It was on the road. That, it just doesn't make any sense, and it's really frustrating, too, to see some of these people who have a vote put it out there. There's a guy in the East Coast who didn't even have him in the top 25.
He had Richmond.
Are you kidding me? And he had Utah State in the top 20.
Look, and we're not going to be elitist here and act like, oh, these teams from other leagues can't be good. Like, we lived in that space. We saw BYU always get dinged like, oh, you're in the WAC, you're in the Mountain West. I don't want to be that. But, like, watch this BYU team. They've been good all year. This is not some flash in the pan where they're good this week. BYU has been a good team the entire year, but for some reason people are like, oh, they're a predictive metrics darling, they're this. Like, no one's really wanted to believe because, well, they lost to Cincinnati. Well, Cincinnati's knocking on the door of, they're like, they've been in the bubble range. They're not going to be in the tournament, but all their losses are to teams that are kind of in consideration for the tournament except for Oklahoma State.
Right.
And so it's just insane to me how the AP top 25 poll
it's
operates.
A joke. Like, it needs to be retired. Just use the net.
Yeah, just use the net. Or if you really want to have a ranking system, I know this sounds extreme, but like, let Vegas do it, because they don't care about your brand. They don't. Yep. They look at just metrics. They look at data.
Sure.
They pour over every nook and cranny of every single roster. Like, they're not going to let any stone go unturned. I'd let them rank it, because
they wouldn't be 20 if they were ranking it.
Because these media members, I feel like,
are pathetic,
are dropping the ball. Like, they're doing the sport a disservice. They're trying to work in their angles for their benefit for their particular regions. Because, look, we're seeing it. ACC country, they're claiming that the Big 12 gamed the system. It's like, no. I think there's this quiet kind of feeling that, is the Big 12 really that good? Like, it's almost because the Midwest.
Yes, it is.
They don't want to acknowledge it. I don't know what it is, but it's like, this Big 12 conference is outstanding. I mean, watching it every single night, I've never seen college basketball on a nightly basis like this, and BYU being a part of it, it's a joy for us. Like, that's what we're doing, this show, because it's Big 12. If this was BYU and Pep, we're not having this Cougar Nation. We're in the Big 12, so we're on Cougar Nation on Monday nights, taking your phone calls, 801-575-8255.
Got to take a break. Mike from Ogden, we see you on the line. Stay with us. We'll get to your call next. It's Cougar Nation right here on KSL News Radio.
Make sure you have the KSL News Radio app to stream BYU games wherever you go. You can also get breaking news alerts and podcast your favorite KSL show, all on one app for KSL News Radio.
This show is on that app, Cougar Nation, as well as Cougar Sports Saturday. If you don't want to get the app, you can subscribe to those podcasts wherever you get podcasts. But, hey, KSL Sports app makes it easy. Well worth the download. We're having a blast here. Final segment of the show, Cougar Nation, taking your calls. Mike from Ogden, what do you got for us, Mike?
Thanks for taking my call. My heart tells me they're going to make it to the Final Four.
Final Four? What gives you confidence in them going to the Final Four, Mike?
I think this is their year. And I just think that it'll happen, because of faith, because of faith.
Hey, but I love that, Mike.
Just had a quick question.
Go ahead.
What's going on with Atiki? It seems like he's hardly making any appearances or he's not playing hardly at all.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Atiki is a case where. They've identified their rotation. They're going to stick with it. He's not going to take minutes from Ali Khalifa and Fusini Traore. Now, I will say, in those games where, you know, Kansas, where you're getting foul trouble a lot, there needs to be a little bit more urgency and willingness by Mark Pope to put in Atiki. He was in the UCF game where they won 90-88, and I thought he gave some good minutes on the offensive end. Defensively, there were some lapses, but that in that game, everyone was having lapses on the defensive end. I like Atiki. I mean, I'm curious to see, honestly, what happens after this season, because if you want to forecast, I'm actually putting it together this week, kind of a way too early look at next year's personnel, because, sadly, the transfer portal season does open up in a couple weeks. And I know that's not at the point of mind for everyone, but you know what? It could be there for Atiki, you know, because, look, he's nearing the end of his time in college basketball. You want to make the most of your opportunities like any player. You want to go pro. Does he move on? We'll see. But I like Atiki.
Probably depends on what Ali Khalifa ends up doing,
yes.
Right?
I hope he stays. He's getting married after this season. You hope that, you know, that willingness, that commitment that BYU's had to him to give him a chance despite only playing 26 games of organized basketball is going to keep him at BYU. But I also understand that from his standpoint, hey, I want to get minutes. I want to play more. And I'm buried behind the depth chart with Foose and Ali Khalifa there. So, well, it's kind of to be determined. But right now you're going to go with Khalifa and Foose on that rotation.
The thing I like about Atiki, though, is, one, he's still engaged even though he's not playing. It's good body language from Atiki. And secondly, if there is a tournament game or even a game left in Big 12, because we know these Big 12 officials are an absolute joke, if the foul trouble becomes a problem, I personally don't feel like you'd be losing anything putting him in. There's been previous teams where if you get in foul trouble, you don't like any of your options after that point. That's not the case with Atiki. It's just simply, you got to give minutes to Jackson and Richie and Foose. Now that he's healthy, he's playing great ball. There's just no minutes. It's not that Atiki was bad per se. It's just he kind of was the odd man out in the rotation.
And looking ahead to this game on Wednesday night, BYU, number 20 BYU, number 6 Iowa State, a top 20 showdown in Hilton Coliseum in Ames, Iowa. You know, Iowa State's a team, they take away everything in the paint. They want to get in a rock fight with with teams. But that's why they lost to BYU. The differences in styles played into BYU's favor in Provo as the Cougars took down Iowa State 87-75 back in January. BYU's first visit to Hilton since 2013 and – or excuse me, 2012. This is Mark Pope on his thoughts on getting ready for Iowa State coming up on Wednesday night.
Yeah, they're incredible, right? They're an incredible team, and it's an incredible venue. I'm excited for the guys to go experience it. It's like everywhere we go is so good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like every single gym. But it's you know, I've been there a couple times, and it's you know, they're an incredible team. They have great leadership. They're really athletic, really skilled. They play incredible basketball everywhere, but especially at home. And so it's going to be a massive challenge for our guys.
No doubt about being good at home. Iowa State undefeated there. They've beat Houston in that Hilton Coliseum. They beat Kansas. Iowa State is darn near untouchable. Tip-off, 7 o'clock, Mountain Time pregame at 6 here on KSL. Does BYU pull off the upset and take down the number 6 team in the country?
I don't think so. And honestly, I know this isn't in the DNA of Coach Pope, but if this thing goes south early, I would just let it stay south. No need to risk injury. There's nothing really to gain from this win. Because if you win this game and beat Oklahoma State and then lose early in the Big 12 tournament, your seed's not changing. Like, just because you beat Iowa State on the road doesn't guarantee you an extra higher seed. So if you can get this win, get the win. But if it goes south, I want to see Trey. I want to see Atiki. I want to see all these dudes because injury, keeping the injury bug away is the most important thing at this stage.
Just quick note, BYU's number 5 seed currently in the Big 12 tournament. If they win the next two games, there's a chance they could be the number 4 seed, which would give them a bye all the way to the Thursday semifinals or quarterfinals. So, but at the same time, stay at 5, you get a first-round bye. It could work out in BYU's favor. We'll see how it all plays out. Wednesday night, BYU and Iowa State tip-off at 7 o'clock right here on KSL. We'll talk to you on Saturday on Cougar Sports Saturday. So for Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte, talk to you next time here on KSL News Radio.